Our scripture lesson today is a part of scripture that's known as Zechariah's prophecy. It's words that were proclaimed by Zechariah shortly after the birth of his son John. Hear now this reading from the Holy Scripture and listen for God's word to you found in these words. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant. The oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness, before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God. Today is Christ the King Sunday. I don't know if you all are aware of that. We live by a liturgical calendar in the church. This is actually the last Sunday of the church year. Next week begins Advent, and we begin a whole new church year. And because this is Christ the King Sunday, I thought this was actually, when I first read it, this is the lection, one of the lectionary passages today, that it was interesting that we were looking at a passage that emphasized John. But as I thought more and more about it, it began to make a lot of sense as I read through this passage, because Zechariah's prophecy actually does include both Jesus and John. But I'm going to focus some on what John said today. I want you to think a minute about Zechariah and his mother and Elizabeth, John's parents. They were very aged, and Elizabeth had been considered to be barren. That's an occurrence that happens quite regularly in the Bible, and it's usually the child that is born of this kind of birth has a very special purpose. For some reason, God seemed to like to keep the baby until later in life, I guess maybe to emphasize that fact that it was through God's providence that the child was born. And so late in life, an angel came to Zechariah and said, "You and Elizabeth are going to have a baby." Now, I want you to think about it. Probably most of us in this congregation are as old or older than Zechariah and Elizabeth were at that time. What would you think if an angel came to you and said, "You're going to have a baby," especially if you haven't had a baby? I think I know how I would react if I got this message at this point. And Zechariah's like, "You're kidding me." Well, I don't know if you remember the story, but after he said that to the angel said, "You're not going to be able to speak another word until after this comes about." And so it happened. Zechariah was a priest serving in the temple. Scripture says that both him and Elizabeth were very dedicated to God. I want you to understand something in this day. This was under this time when Zechariah was a priest, was under the rule of the Roman Empire. Many of the religious leaders, and this is something Jesus will address during his ministry, many of the religious leaders were beholden to their position to the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire could say, "You're able to serve in the temple or you're not, you're out." And actually, it was pretty dangerous if you did not kowtow to the Roman Empire. So for the scripture to say that Elizabeth and Zechariah were God-fearing and followed closely in God's rule in their lives was really saying something, which is probably why they were chosen to have John. So Zechariah has been serving in the temple, comes out and cannot speak a word because it was in the temple that the angel actually came to him. Well, it came about that 9 months later, lo and behold, John was born. The angel also told him he would be named John. Now, it was normal in that day and age for the baby to be named after the father, but he had somehow let Elizabeth know that the baby's name was supposed to be John. So when the time came for him to be dedicated, the baby was born and it was time to be dedicated, Elizabeth said his name will be John because everybody was ready to call him Zechariah. And they're like, you're kidding, why? And about that time, as soon as Elizabeth said, no, the baby's name is John, and he was dedicated as John, Zechariah regained his ability to speak. I think the reason that this happened is so people would understand just how special John was. And John spent a great deal of time in ministry. He was only 6 months older than Jesus, but he, from everything we can tell, started his ministry much younger, much earlier. Scripture says he spent time in the wilderness before he actually started his ministry. And John went out and he started preaching, teaching, telling people about God's love and calling them to follow more closely in God's footsteps in the path that God would have them walk. And many people began to follow John. That happens quite often. We see that today, that when there's a really charismatic pastor, people will begin to follow them. And it's very easy to fall into that of considering the pastor almost more than the one that the pastor is speaking about, God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So John began, as it became time for Jesus to begin his ministry, John began telling people, no, I'm not the important one. The one that's important is going to be coming. He's the one that God has sent to be our Messiah. You need to begin to look for him. You need to focus on the one that's to come, not on me. Now, we know John wasn't entirely successful in bringing this about because even after Jesus' death, there was people that were worshiping God according to John rather than according to Jesus. But, you know, Paul dealt with that some in his ministry. But the thing that John was coming to teach, the last two lines of the scripture that I read, he came to guide people into the light out of darkness, and he came to teach them to walk in the paths of peace. Pretty much what Jesus taught when Jesus came, that idea that if we are going to be followers of God through Jesus Christ, we have to be prepared to lead people into light and into darkness. Right now in this country, I think most people will acknowledge that this last political season we had was probably the darkest political season we've ever had. It's continuing on. We were all looking forward to the day after the election thinking that it would get better. It hasn't. If you're on Facebook, you know it hasn't. But that's the important message that we find in this scripture. I don't care which way you were on, which side you were on, our job is to live as Christians. No matter what the political climate is, we need to live as Christians. We need to work for peace. We need to work for justice. We need to work for love. I don't know about you, but I'm really proud to be a Presbyterian because that peace, love, and justice is very much a part of who we are. It's what we try to preach. It's how we try to work. We, even as Presbyterians, have an office in Washington, D.C., that tries to keep up with issues that are going on and tries to write papers to deal with it, tries to keep people informed of what's happening up there in the government so that we can understand better and we can work for peace, justice, and love. We have a book that's part of our Constitution that's called the Book of Confessions. I actually have it here. This is the old one. There's a new one that has a new confession in it that's just been added this last year, and I haven't gotten a copy of it yet. But many of our confessions talk about this. Many of our confessions were written because of issues that were going on in the world. We have the Barman Confession that was written during the time of Hitler in Germany. Things were very dark then, and Hitler had actually said that you really have to worship me as above Jesus, and some of the Christian churches were willing to go along with that. I'm sure out of fear. Fear that if they didn't follow what Hitler said, that like many other people, they would end up dead. And there were some Christians that chose not to follow that. And they were the ones that wrote this Barman Confession. That there is only one Lord and Savior. It's not Hitler. It's Jesus. And if we're going to be good Christians, no matter what happens to us, we have to fight for what's right. And by fighting, I don't mean fist fights. I don't mean guns. I mean working to make things right. One such person that was part of that movement that wrote the Barman was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Many of you probably know who he is. He was a Christian that worked to make things right during Hitler's time. He ended up in a concentration camp and was actually executed right before the concentration camps were emptied. In the 60s, we had another confession that talked about the racial issue. The Presbyterian Church was stepping up to work to make equality, to make things right. The most recent confession that was just added in June after many, many years. We don't make changes quickly in the Presbyterian Church. I get a lot of gas. We don't make change quickly because we are very studious. We try to make sure that we understand what our faith draws us to as we're making changes, not just doing it one thing this day and this another thing this day. We try to be very thoughtful in reading our scripture and trying to understand what we are called to do as Christians, how best to bring light into darkness, how best to walk the steps of peace. And so this last year, after probably a 10-15 year review and discussion and votes, we added the Belhar Confession. This is one that came out of South Africa, actually. The Presbyterian Church, when the apartheid was going on in South Africa, was very involved in trying to bring about justice there. And out of that time was this Belhar Confession, which was actually written by the South African Church, that we have now added. Reminders to us as we look at the Book of Confessions. The Book of Confession covers many, many, many centuries, going back to right at shortly after Jesus was here and had his ministry, to current time. We try, in this Book of Confessions, we try to help people understand what it means to be a Christian. And also that the world changes. And as the world changes, we need to look at how we can better serve the world, how we can better work for peace, love, and justice. It's not always easy. It's so much easier to go along with the crowd, to not try to do things differently. But as Christians, we're called to analyze, and we don't all agree. We certainly know that we don't all agree. We all understand Scripture differently. We all understand what our call as a Christian, how to live as a Christian is. But if we can keep that message of God's love at the center of how we make our decisions, it can make a better world. You know, I know I struggle with it at times, and that's one of the reasons the screensaver on my computer actually is a saying that was attributed to Saint Francis. We don't know for sure if it was, but I, you know, whether it was written by St. Francis, but it's one that I like to read because it helps me remember. I think probably a lot of you will know these words as I read it. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. What an important message. What an important reminder. If we all could keep those kind of words in front of us as we live. If we look back to the message of John and how he reached out to people as he prepared them for Jesus. But more importantly, if we spend time in the Word, if we spend time trying to fulfill those directions that Jesus gave us. Jesus, we're a group I'm in right now, we're reading a book that one of the things they're talking about is as Christians, we're not called so much to beliefs. And in the Christian church, trust me, we've spent a lot of time trying to get people to understand beliefs. But what we're called to is faith. We don't have to have perfect beliefs in order to live as Jesus would have us live. This scripture tells us that Jesus came to change the world. Jesus came according to their understanding of that day as the Messiah. Now, their understanding of as the Messiah in that day, because remember, this is a people that are living under Roman domination. They're wanting freedom. They want to get out from underneath the thumb. They've spent a lot of generations and generations being oppressed by other people. And they're looking for a Messiah like David. A Messiah who is going to pick up arms and lead them into battle. But that's not what they got. They got a Messiah that came in peace. They got a Messiah that came in love. They got a Messiah that was preaching to people justice, that everyone's equal, and that we're to work for equality, that everyone's worthy of love, and we're to work for love. Jesus came preaching a word of peace. Not easy. Turn the other cheek. How good are we at turning the other cheek when somebody does us wrong? Not just the metaphorical cheek, but our whole lives. It's so much easier to strike back, to fight back. But that's not what our Christ the King taught. Our Christ the King taught that if we truly want to follow him, we have to live the way he lived. We have to take risks. We have to be prepared to lay down our lives, not necessarily literally, but certainly metaphorically. We need to be prepared to lay down our lives, to reach out to others, to find out where they hurt, to find out how we can make a difference in their lives. That's what John came for. His father, in his great love for this son that he never expected to have, laid down words for us to hear. Those words he said about John are words that are said about us too. We have been sent to bring light into darkness and to pave the way for a path of peace. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'd like to remind everybody that we do have third Sunday dinner in Fellowship Hall after church. Everyone is invited. If you're a first-time visitor, you don't even have to pay. So we hope you'll join us. And also remind people that Hanging of the Greens is right after lunch. So we hope that a group of you will be able to help us stay and help us do that. Hanging the greens always goes much more quickly when we have lots of hands. So this week, as you go out into the world, I hope that you will remember the prophecy of John, both of Jesus and of John, that we have come into this world to be light and darkness, to pave the way of peace, to show love, justice to all, and to change the world one person at a time. It can seem overwhelming because sometimes it can seem like there's just so much hatred and anger that we wonder if there's anything we can do. But we are told as Christians that we can make a difference, that if we reach out to just one person in love, if we try to live our lives in peace and showing justice, others see who we are. And maybe, just maybe, one or two people will follow in our footsteps. And now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each of you this day and forevermore. Amen.